Welcome to Happy News Network.
We are here to brighten your week while you take a break from doom scrolling.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Shayna.
We wanted to brighten social media, so we decided to make a podcast all about happy news.
Join us as we discuss our happy news finds.
Shayna, what is your happy news this week?
My childhood rabbi a few weeks ago was ordained as a New York Army National Guard chaplain.
What?
Yeah. So maybe not ordained, but like instituted. So he's been a rabbi for well over 10, 15 years now. So Rabbi Levinson is now with the New York Army National Guard as a chaplain.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He just put a picture of it up on Facebook as a very wonderful thing to share with the world.
That's not even a thing that I would think, like, that's not even a timeline that I would think existed. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Congrats, Rabbi.
Yeah. I'm very excited for him.
Yeah. Wow. Cool. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
What's your happy news this week?
I've been Pfizered. I got my first Pfizer, so I have a bit of a sore throat. So apologies. But yeah, just just the logistics of the drive-through vaccine site was like a stage manager's dream, and that brought me more joy than like getting the Fauci ouchie. Just like the logistics of all of it, I was like, this is incredible. Thank you, everyone.
So yeah. You've gotten dose one and it felt, is your arm? I'm having a little bit of arm soreness, but nothing too crazy.
Nope. I had more soreness with my tetanus shot in January.
Correct.
Yeah.
That one is a sore throat.
Yeah.
Oh,
just a sore throat. So, and it honestly, it might be the weather because it varies by like 80 degrees every day in Colorado. So
there's a 99% chance, probably the weather and allergies fluctuating because of the pollen release.
Yeah, it's probably the weather.
But when I first got back to Florida after being in Pittsburgh for work, I was like, oh God, did I get COVID? And then I went, no, it's just allergies because you took a Claritin. You felt great.
Right.
So I'm sure
Claritin fixes it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm so happy you've been Pfizered.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so exciting. So did you just do like an appointment? Like, did you have to make an appointment or did you just do a show up and see if they can get you in?
Yeah, I made an appointment mid-April, I think it was. Vaccines were available to anybody, I think 16 and up in Colorado. Mm. So I signed up for one and it was just like drive through, scan your QR code, confirm your birthday, zap, wait 15 minutes, drive home. It was so easy.
Terrific. Yeah. And I love that you didn't even have to leave your car.
I know. And I'm like, honestly, I'm just really pumped about the logistics of it. Like, it's really cool.
It seems like it was really, really well set up and then also really well run. All right. So my first article this week, I stole a page from your book, Kristen. My next article features a 2020 James Dyson Award finalist.
Yes, James Dyson.
We are big Dyson fans here at the Happy News Network. So Carvey Maig attends Mapua University in the Philippines. He invented solar windows using rotten produce. He was chosen as a finalist. So he was chosen of 20 finalists out of 1,800 entries from 27 countries. And I'll say that again. He invented solar windows using rotten produce.
Like, that's so much better than composting.
Right? It's like composting to the next degree. It's like extreme composting. Okay, so I'll enlighten you because I'm sure you've got 800 questions and I will.
I'm speechless, so please.
Yes. I am sure that none of what I'm about to say will make sense to anyone who doesn't speak science, but I will try so hard. His system is called Aureus, AUREUS. It's a system utilizing crop waste as absorbance of stray UV light from the sun and converting that stray UV light into energy. So he uses this to for windows and for walls and buildings, and it uses the same technology derived from the phenomena that creates aurora borealis, aka the northern lights. So cool. So what does that mean? I'm sure many people are asking. I will tell you as best I can. There, it means there are high energy particles. So those particles are absorbed by luminescent particles. So the high energy is absorbed by luminescent. The luminescent re-emits the high energy as visible light. So that's what the northern lights are. It's the re-emitting of luminescence as visible light. So I think. So I could be wrong. Double check on any encyclopedia anywhere. So when hit by light, these re-emitted particles absorb and emit light along the edges, which means they can be converted into electricity if the light is captured. So basically he uses composted produce to capture the light. What? I want to know what it was like for him sitting at home one day and going, God, I wish I could just use my produce. Ding, 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 light bulb, except maybe a fluorescent light bulb, something eco-friendly. Yeah.
Yeah, how do you just like, let me slap this rotten piece of lettuce on the wall and just see what happens? Like,
so the crop waste absorbs those stray UV lights. And mm-hmm. because the particles, like those re-emitted particle lights, they can absorb and emit light. So that means they can be converted into electricity once the light they're emitting gets captured.
How do we know this? Like, how do we know these things? It's just, science is weird.
It's kind of like creating, I don't know, translucent wood.
Like, who did this?
Who sat there and accidentally decided to Mod Podge the wrong way and create a new version of wood?
Yeah, like it's how like Post-its were an accident. Like,
really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Well, that's another happy news article for another day.
And like, does it Apologies. Smell?
I don't know, but they're pretty. They're like this neon fluorescent color, and they can be yellow, green, pinkish purple. Maybe it depends
kind on of like produce. Kind of like stained glassy.
A little bit. Like stained glass, but plastic looking.
Yeah.
But they're not plastic because they're made of produce.
Yeah. I have a lot of questions that... Honestly, I need to just email that company and ask them my questions.
Yes, you need to email Carvey. I would answer them, but I've given you what I can. And I apologize for the next 15 minutes. The rest of our articles are going to just be us trying to like continue to think about produce in the back of our minds.
Yeah, I'm going to be in the middle of talking about something else and be like, but wait a second. So is tomato going to be like pinkish or red, or is it like blue? Like, what happened? Yeah. What? Okay.
Yeah.
Goodness. I'm going to be thinking about that all day, but like in yeah. the best way. Like, wow.
Yeah.
What a time to be alive.
Oh, yeah. We have what? Jetpacks to rescue people from mountains and solar powered windows made from produce.
Sure. Sure. Totally normal. Sure. This is what the Jetsons were thinking of.
I hope so. If not, yeah. They're going to be really confused for the reboot.
Oh my God. Okay. My first article so like fits kind of with this, which who knew anything could fit with that?
Salads.com? No.
Right. I'm going to talk about the Cincinnati Recycling and Reuse Hub. So this is a group of Cincinnatians who, Cincinnatonians, I don't really remember what we're supposed to be called, but Cincinnatians, they're making a huge change to the way Southwest Ohio thinks about recycling. So they're a relatively new group and they're full of reusers. They got together and formed this group that collects anything and everything that you're trying to get rid of, with like spring cleaning being something that happened or needs to still happen or is currently happening in your home. People are getting rid of a ton of stuff, but they don't necessarily know how to properly recycle it. Like electronics is a big thing that you're like, this is mostly plastic, but can I recycle this? Does this need to go in a landfill? What are we doing with this? So Cincinnati Recycling and Reuse Hub was formed. They had their first day of collection and hundreds of cars came through. They filled up 5 semi trucks of things that people wanted to get rid of that could be used again. And they still had over 100 cars in line after 5 semi trucks were full. That's what, like, Cincinnati, what are we, because also being from that part of Ohio, part of it was in this article too, but like, you never want to get rid of anything. You're like, oh, I could reuse this jar for something. I could reuse, like, this sweatshirt has holes in it, but I could turn it into a blanket. Like, all kinds of things like that are going on. But how do you actually make something of these trash items? But they partner, this group partners with local organizations like your Crayons to Computers that you talked about in the first season. So like, their end goal is to have enough money to have their own like collecting station and a van, so they could like weekly pick up restaurant crayons. You know, like, they give a little pack of 3 crayons to kids, they play with them for 5 minutes, and then they go in the trash, where they could go in this specific bin that then goes to Crayons for Computers. Like, I just think it's really cool. They're working with people all the way up to like Wisconsin, just finding ways to reuse and recycle things that could otherwise be thrown in a landfill. So,
whoa.
Yeah. I loved that.
That's wonderful. And I think, I don't know if you've gotten to like really in an in-depth way, watch the Estelle interview. We talk a lot about in our upcoming minisode with Estelle Vivine. She talks a lot about how consumers just don't realize how to reuse or recycle. There's a lot of just misinformation and confusion. It sounds like Cincinnati is circumventing the whole aspect of education by just doing it themselves and organizing it in a way that's very consumer friendly, because the consumer just says, item in bin. And then everything else is sort of taken care of after they get rid of the item.
Right. And there are a ton of, in Ohio, I've experienced, there are a ton of recycling drop-off plants, but it's like blue glass here, green glass here. But then you and I both know that that goes off to other places to get recycled, in quotes, but some of that can't actually be recycled. Mm-hmm. So this is just a way, you know, it's essentially the same kind of collection place. It just actually goes to places like Crayons for Computers and they get used again.
Oh, I love that. And I love that we get to tie certain points back to each other.
Yeah.
My gosh. Well, I'm going to stay in the Midwest for my next article. This was a friend submission. My friend Jason sent this in. It's not even news. It's just a really cool mission happening in Milwaukee. So you're a big reader, Kristen.
I try. I have like 5 books that I haven't finished yet.
Hey, you're reading a lot. So the Niche Book Bar is a Milwaukee-based online bookstore, and their mission is sort of twofold. So mission number one is financially supporting local independent bookstores around the country. And they have this motto that I love, that books are essential to a healthy culture. And so they support bookstores in 2 different ways. The first way is 10% of regular sales go into a pool that's divided up every 6 months. And they also have a map showing store affiliates who sell books via the bookshop, and they'll take home a higher profit cut. So it's sort of a combination of fundraising and crowdsourcing bookstore info, which is really, really cool. So Niche Book Bar also serves up the full spectrum of Black literature and culture through written form. And they have book sections that are heavily featuring of Black authors and topics like race and culture, or roots, not roots like hair, like just to clarify, roots like the issue or of the topic. Like getting down to the root of race and discussion about it. And they also have kids' books like Harlem's Little Blackbird and nonfiction books like Cecily Tyson's biography. So there's a lot of more classic, you know, more contemporary literature on there. There's a huge diversity element to it. And they've recently launched, it looks like on their Instagram, they've launched a book club using the Goodreads website. And they also present conversations with authors using Instagram Live. So very community driven. It doesn't have to be some fancy platform. It's just right where we all know how to use all the different platforms. We sort of already use Instagram. We already use Goodreads. So it's kind of like everybody wins through this mission. And get this, they've raised over $13.1 million so far.
Whoa. Worth it.
Yeah. I love the convenience of the Amazon bookstore in New York, but I always felt really guilty that I wasn't supporting a local bookstore. So not to poo-poo Amazon, but there is something about supporting a local business. And I love that they are using their e-hub to be like a mama tree with all those branches.
Yeah, I love that. And like the Instagram lives, like I don't have to find that specific branch of Barnes and Noble to go to that like author's class or whatever it is, book reading. I can do it from Denver. I don't have to go to the
Midwest. Exactly. Exactly. And you don't have to wait for them to come through on a book tour and go, oh gosh, I have rehearsal. You can just watch it.
Yeah. Wow.
And you can it on in silent in rehearsal and just put on closed captioning. What's that you're watching? A recording of the show? Excellent.
On today's list of best practices in rehearsal. Amazing. I love that. All right. I'm going to talk about space junk again. Remember I talked about like, we're trying to get rid of all that space junk that's out there. So it's happening. Like currently right now, as we speak, it's happening. Our atmosphere is being cleaned up. So that trash collector that space trash collector that I talked about, is up there working right now. And like, I talked about it a little bit, but I didn't realize just how much space junk interferes with our ability to use satellites, not only to track and forecast weather, but also for like telecommunication and GPS. Like, I'm like, okay, now every time my GPS tells me to make a left turn and then do a U-turn because I made the wrong left turn, I'm like, oh, I'm going to blame that space junk. but this current space cleaner is called ELSA-D, and that stands for End of Life Services by Astroscale. And it will magnetically attach to dead satellites and then launch them toward the Earth's atmosphere, causing them to then burn up and just be gone. And at first I was like, oh my God, why are you going to launch like satellites back at us? It's like how the dinosaurs like came to be extinct. Like,
it's
what's
like
going
nature's
on?
Incinerator.
Right. I was like, what are you doing? But I guess most of this space debris is about the size of a softball. But here I am thinking that it's like the size of Delaware, but like, no, it's the size of a softball. Like it's fine. But yeah, I just did like a little bit more digging into the space junk, and it's being cleaned up right now. So, and all future satellites that are being built or planned to be built will have a special like panel on them, I guess, that will help them get attracted to these space junk cleaners, to ELSA.
Like a magnet strip. This is like the space trash. It just sounds like a Mel Brooks movie.
I think it is.
Oh yeah, space balls. space balls. It just refers to the softball sized debris. I love that there is a way to do this without having to without creating more junk. There are ways of doing this that basically just leaves us with like what, a big snowball size of debris that seems hopefully harmless. We'll find out in time. And I love that they're using what we currently know to make future satellites less problematic.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was very exciting. And like all the names that we see, like NASA, obviously SpaceX, like all the names that we associate with outer space and things going out into the atmosphere were listed in this article as like partners and people that are working with the ELSA-D like initiative. So
ELSA, because you just got to let that space junk go.
Oh my God, bumper stickers.
I'm here for this. I'm like, I don't know if you can see how big I'm smiling that like all these big companies in the space world are getting together to like, it's a unified approach. It's not just one company saying this is our goal.
Yeah. Very exciting. Working together.
I love that. Okay. So I love dogs. Breaking news. I don't know if you're aware, Kristen, but I love dogs.
I've heard that about you.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably directly from me multiple times. So I love dogs. The next person I'm going to talk about loves dogs. His name is Darius Brown. He is a high school student, or he's about to be a high school student. He has made and donated bow ties to dogs at animal shelters. It is the cutest thing. So it started 4 years ago. Darius made and donated 25 bow ties to the New York City ASPCA after Hurricane Irma, because he wanted dogs to stand out to potential adopters. And like, who doesn't love a little dog in a bow tie, right?
I would comment, but my dog is now barking constantly, so I think he knows.
He wants a bow tie. That's him placing an order. So Darius credits his big sister with teaching him how to sew in the first place, because 4 years ago she was a cosmetology student and she would make custom little bow ties for her clients. So he would start by helping cut the fabric and then he would do the sewing, because she was a little apprehensive at first of giving him free rein of a sewing machine, which as someone who is not good at sewing machines, I understand. So his mom even describes this activity as a way for Darius to overcome a speech and fine motor skill disorder he was diagnosed with when he was really young. So this project has helped him develop some of those motor skills. Like, you have to be dexterous to be able to cut fabric and to utilize a sewing machine. Like, just threading a bobbin is hard for someone without any sort of fine speech or motor skill. Both of us. So I can only imagine what this means for him to now be doing this with all of his free time. So Darius now has his own business. It's called Bow and Paws, and he has donated over 600 bow ties to dogs in shelters. And he spends his free time filling up all those donation requests coming in. So Darius's work even caught the attention of former President Barack Obama, who sent him a thank you letter for his service. So there was a lot of positive traction that Darius gained when this started happening and when his donations became more plentiful, and the letter from the president really motivated him. His goal is to donate to shelters in all 50 states. And so far he's done 9 states, but that's 9 out of 51 because he's donated to DC. So
we love
doggy bow ties. I want to give your puppy.
He needs one.
Does he want blue or yellow? What is he thinking?
Both. Give him all.
Okay, great. Monty needs a bow tie.
All right. So my last article is about Monopoly. So I used to play Monopoly all the time as a kid, even though it takes like 47 hours, right? I know. Yes. And we've had nothing but time on our hands this last year. So I got like Monopoly for the Xbox, been playing like a digital virtual Monopoly. So anyway, Hasbro has decided that after 85 years, they're going to change the cards in the community chest. And like currently some of the cards are like life insurance upgrade and you won a beauty pageant, and it's just kind of very dated. So Hasbro thinks that the last year kind of proved how important community really is and decided it's time to change them, but they're letting the community decide. So voting is closed, but it was open to anybody. Could go to like, I think it was like monopolycommunitychess.com or something, and you could vote for your favorites. And some of the options were like rescue a puppy, shop local, like very like current
things we love. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And like community driven things. And new cards come out in the fall. So I'm just really excited to see what they are. And I kind of hope that they get updated on my Xbox.
I'm super excited for this. So my family loves, let me clarify. My father loves playing Monopoly because he's a really good numbers guy and he's a strategist. So he is the type of person, who he knows how to beat you before the game has started, because he just buys all the expensive property and rents you out, which is brilliant, but evil, like every good mastermind. And so like, I love playing Monopoly because I always think I have a chance to beat him, but he always wipes the floor with me. So it's like kind of a joke when I think I can play them, but Monopoly is such a beloved pastime. I love that. But enough rambling about like me being bad at board games. Okay, so like, what are you looking forward to?
I mean, warmer weather. I talked about it again last week, but my farmer's market. Remember that farmer's market, like first episode I was talking about, yes, that I just get like a random bag of produce. They are coming back. I am so pumped for like, what the heck is this fruit? Let me eat it and see. Like, yeah, I'm really excited. That's awesome.
And I know that you're very into your cooking, so I can't wait to see how you incorporate this farmer's market into your cooking. Yeah. I discovered the beauty of oat milk at Crafty on set. And so like, I'd always been a little resistant because it's just another thing to put in the fridge, but I'm really enjoying it in my tea. So I'm looking forward to noodling in the kitchen a little bit. I've got like a handheld frother and I feel like oat milk is better for frothing and giving texture to a drink. So I'm excited to keep playing with all that.
Yeah. Oat milk is like, it reminds me of like heavy cream, but it's not like it has. And it, yeah. Oh my gosh. Wow. I love oat milk. If you'd like to have a sidebar for like 45 minutes, we could talk about oat milk.
I think we shall. I think that'll be something to listen. I don't think the listeners need to hear about that, but I definitely think in addition to all of our gluten-free baking catching up we have to do, I think an oat milk discussion, we'll have to schedule that.
Yes.
Like an oat milk Monday or something.
Love it. Milk alternative Monday. Oh my God. Spin off. Ah. We love all forms of happy news and happenings.
Be sure to send us your own day-to-day happy news. Cute pet stories, kids saying the darndest things, whatever you're up to, we love it all.
Email us at hnnpodcast@gmail.com. Also, follow us on social media at hnnpodcast for happy news throughout the week.
And be sure to subscribe to us through Patreon where you'll get exclusive content and more.
Until next time, I'm Kristen.
And I'm Shayna.
Have a happy week.